I want to ask you today, if you would, to turn with me to Jude, verse 3. Now, the reason I say Jude, verse 3, there's only one chapter in that book. And then we're going to turn from there to 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. If you would stand with me for the reading of the Word today. Jude, verse 3. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, I'm going to read the New Living Translation. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. I want to go back to Jude verse 3 and read it one more time, and it said, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I want to share with you this morning under the direction of the Holy Spirit, and I felt this so strongly late Friday night and all throughout the day yesterday. Are there any contenders in the house? Are there any contenders in the house? Father, we thank you for this moment that we have to share the Word of God, to hear your voice, and for your Spirit to rain upon us and do something so new and something so real and something so powerful in our life today. I pray, God, that the Word will stir in us and motivate us, Lord, to step up, Lord, and be that contender, to be that fighter, to be that warrior, God, to be that that will press into your presence, into the place where you are calling us to. I pray that your will, your purpose, and your desire shall be fulfilled today. And then when we leave this house, there will not be one who does not know you as Lord and Savior. There will not be one who leaves this place without being changed in some way by your Word, by your Spirit, and by your power. And God, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn around and shake somebody's hand. Hug somebody's neck quickly and tell them that you're excited about them being in the house of God today. I want to ask the question again, are there any contenders in the house? And we will draw that from Jude, verse number 3. But I want to go back to the passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, and lay a little bit of a foundation for where we're going today. Now, in this passage here, the Apostle Paul is talking to them, and I want to first of all say this about Paul. He was a very educated man, an intelligent man, a scholar of his day. He was very skilled with words. He knew how to motivate people with his words. He knew how to say the right things and do the right things to get people to do certain things. Paul was trained, and he knew the power of persuasive speech to influence and to change the minds of those who were around him. But even with all of these capabilities, and even with all these things that Paul was able to do because of what he had learned, this same Paul says in this passage, "For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ and the one who was crucified." He said, I've decided I'm going to forget everything else. I'm going to forget the persuasive words. I'm going to forget all of these other things. The only thing that I am concerned about is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, what Paul was saying was, I have emptied myself. I laid aside all the natural wisdom. I've laid aside all human reasoning. And I confine and restrain myself to only one thing. And that one thing is this, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I remember I used to ask my dad, and I think I've shared this with you a few times along the way, but sometimes I'd go up to my dad and I'd say, Dad, give me something, a good subject. Give me something good to preach on. And every time I would say those words, this is how he would respond, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When you come down to that point and place that that's all that matters and that's where you really are, it makes all the difference. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Paul had come to that place in his life. Paul said, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. What Paul wanted them to understand in that moment was, I'm not just trying to impress you with my intelligence. I'm not trying to impress you with my eloquence. But what he was saying to them was, I've come to bring you and get you in contact with the power of God. The only thing that matters is not what I've learned or not what I know, but the only thing that matters is that you get in contact or you become connected with the power of God. Again, Paul had the ability to speak to the minds and reasoning faculties of men and sway them and to manipulate them through human reasoning. But I want to say this to you, and I want to be very careful when I say this. He had a way of getting people to change their mind or transform their mind. Let me say this while I'm here. A lot of preaching today, and I want to be very careful with this, but I want you to get it. A lot of preaching today is focused only on changing the way people see themselves. It's focused on how they can think differently. It is focused on how to mentally assent to a better life, and those things are good, but I want you to hear me. The gospel is not just about changing the way you think. It is about the power of God unto salvation. We can get people to think differently. We can get people to see things differently, but we've got to bring people back to the reality and the fact of the gospel of Jesus Christ that will literally change their life. The gospel is the power to transform your life. It is the power to heal. It is the power to deliver. It is the power to work miracles. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that literally changes the lives of men, women, boys, and girls. The truth is, the New Testament believers, we should not tolerate. Now, don't you listen to this. As New Testament believers, we should not tolerate. We should not accept a gospel that does not produce miracles. We should never tolerate a gospel that does not bring healing or deliverance or does not transform the lives of people. We should never tolerate a gospel that does not bring about salvation and bring about the deliverance in a life. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, Living Bible said this, the kingdom of God is not just talking, it is living by God's power. It's not just talking, but it's living by God's power. Romans 14:17 said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to say that again. It is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Notice what he said. In the Holy Ghost. What's he talking about? In the Spirit of God. In the power of God. And I want to say this. The Holy Ghost is the power of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. Jesus said in John 7:37-38, if anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now the King James Version said, said, out of its belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let me tell you this morning, where the kingdom of God is present, there will be a manifestation of the power of God. Where the kingdom of God is present, there will be a manifestation of power. Amen. One of the saddest things that happened in many of our churches in this day and hour, and I want to be very careful in this statement, one of the saddest things that's happened in many of our churches today is substituting mental assent or mental stimulation and inspiration for the power of God. In other words, working more on mentally how we think than getting the power of God into our spirit and into our heart and into our life. Songs that encourage and stimulate the mind of people to be all that they can be, but never taking them into the presence of God. I want to say this to you. Everything we do in this church ought to bring people into the presence of God. It ought to invite the presence of the Lord. Because where the presence of God is, there will be revival. There will be life-transforming moments. There will be miracles happening where the presence of God is. Amen. So many today are preaching, that preaching is happening that provokes the mind, but it never penetrates the hearts of people. God help us, and I want us to preach to me and every minister. God help us to preach the gospel in such a way that it will penetrate the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls again and lead them back to the cross of Calvary, that they will find Jesus Christ and come to know Him as their Lord and their Savior. Now I want to take you back for just a moment to 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 9 and verse 10. New King James Version says this: So Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took everything. He also carried away the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. Now I want you to notice something here. Gold had been placed to honor God. But Shishak comes in and he removes the gold shields. And the Bible said that Rehoboam, who had become king, instead of being grieved over the loss, instead of going to war and getting back what was lost and what was truly God's, the Bible said he made shields of brass and he hung them with where the gold shields once had been. Now here's what I want you to get out of that statement. Instead of getting what was real, instead of what really belonged to God, he replaced it or he substituted it with a fake or an inferior for the genuine. The real was removed, but instead of going after the real, replaced it with an inferior or a fake. They resembled the gold shields. They still had the shine. They still had the sparkle. From a distance, they even looked real. But here's the reality. They were not real. It looked like what was God's, but it was not God's. It looked what had been put in place to honor the Lord, but it was not real. Can I also tell you, many pulpits today are substituting messages that sparkle and shine and stir the intellect and stir the emotions and really sound good, but they're not producing power and they're not transforming lives. God help us to stay in the Word of God and preach the Word in such a way that it won't just impress people, but it will transform the lives of those who hear it. It will produce the power of God that will bring about miracles in God's house. They're settling for something that sparkles, stimulates the emotions, stimulates the intellect, but it is powerless to cast out devils. It is powerless to deliver the drug addict. It is powerless to bring about healing. It is powerless to heal the wounded heart. It is powerless to set the captive free. Let me just stop and tell you, if we have ever preached the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must preach the truth of God's word now. People may not say it, they may not proclaim it, but I will say this, they are looking for what is real, and they're looking for something that will literally change their life. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, the Good New Translation, what gives life is God's Spirit. Human power is of no use at all. The words I have spoken to you brings God's life-giving Spirit. You know what it's saying to us? It means that the words of Jesus Christ are alive. The words of Jesus Christ produce life. They change life. They set the captives free. They produce miracles. When the words of Jesus Christ come forth, it brings about revival. It brings about a manifestation of the power of God. It brings about life-changing experiences. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18, Jesus said, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, and I want you to key in on that, in my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. How does it come? In my name, at the name of Jesus, they shall be free. At the name of Jesus, there shall be a manifestation. So you understand, the words of Jesus Christ are alive and well. Then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8, as you go preach, say this, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. But I want you to hear this and hear it very well. He said, lay hands on the sick. He said, cast out devils. He said, preach. But all these things we are to do what? In the name or at the name of Jesus Christ. Now I want to go back to that second part again. He said, as you go preach, say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he said, as you preach it, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. What is being revealed to us here? What is being revealed is the gospel is in two parts. It is the message, and then it is the manifestation. The word must come forth, and then there is a manifestation of what the word brings. The good news comes, and then the power of God to produce the results comes next. When the word of God comes forth, goes forth, the Bible said it will not come back void, but it will produce what God intends to be done. The truth is that many of God's people today, and I want to be very careful when I say this, because we're living in an hour now when the enemy is attacking the church like never before. The enemy is bombarding the people of God like never before. I believe we're in one of the greatest days of revival. I believe we're in one of the greatest moments for revival to take place in the church. But at the same time, the enemy is bombarding the mind, the spirit, the heart, and the soul of every believer. He wants to bring discouragement. He wants to get you down and out. He wants to pull you away from God. And that being said, we're living in a time when many of God's people are satisfied with just a little sparkle. They're satisfied with just a little shine, a little tugging on the emotions. They don't mind God tugging at them once in a while. They don't mind a little stirring of their intellect. They don't mind God motivating them just a little bit once in a while. But Lord, don't do too much, not all at one time. That's where many people are today. They're okay with God doing just a little bit here and there, but not too much at once. But I want everyone to hear me. As believers and as children of God, our greatest battle is not against the filth and the corruption of this world. Our greatest battle is not against the temptations of this world, but our greatest battle as true believers is the battle between good and best. Our greatest battle as people of God is between good and best. Or should I say it this way? Our greatest battle is between good and God. Think about that. Our greatest battle is not against the things of this world. Our greatest battle as God's people is between the good and God himself. It's the fight to either move into the greatness of the purpose, the destiny, and the power that God has called us into, or to simply settle down into a comfortable place where we are. Now, I want to be very careful when I make this statement, but I want everybody to hear me. So many people are satisfied to have fire insurance, if you will. They're satisfied just to be saved, but just to be saved. They're satisfied to be in the kingdom, but just barely in the kingdom. They're satisfied to be in the river, but only ankle deep, not any further. They're satisfied to maybe speak in tongues once in a while, every now and again. But I want to say this to you. We're living in a time now we ought to be deeper in the Spirit of God now than we've ever been in our life. We ought to have a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit than we've ever had in our life. We need him now more than we have ever needed him before. But let me take you back to this. This is where the real battle is, because every child of God has been called and destined to a life of purpose and a life of power, and the enemy wants to do everything in his power to stop you from reaching that place that God has designed for your life. So you have to get locked in, and you have to make up your mind that you're going to press in and you're going to be what God has called you to be. Can I tell you that there are many Christians today, and I want to be careful here too, there are many Christians today that I truly believe are going to make heaven their home, but they will not fulfill the destiny God had for them on this earth. They're going to make heaven their home, but they're missing out on the destiny God had designed for them down here. What are you saying? They're satisfied to be saved, but they do nothing to advance the kingdom. They're satisfied to be saved, but they do nothing to make a change in the world around them. They're satisfied to be saved. They're happy to just have enough salvation to keep them. But I want to say this to this church this morning. Listen to me well. We need to advance the kingdom of God like we've never advanced the kingdom of God. We need to be up and about the Father's business like we've never been up and about the Father's business. We need to be doing the will of God like we've never done it before. Why? Because there's a world all around us that is hurting and it is broken. And if we don't tell them, who's going to tell them? If we don't share it, who's going to share it? If we don't reveal the goodness of God, who's going to reveal the goodness of God? That's why I'm thankful for Love Week. It's coming up here in just a few days. We're going to reach out to our city in a different way than what we've reached out before. We want to make an impact and let people see the love of Jesus Christ coming through us. We are not called simply to be saved. Listen to me. We are not called simply to be saved, but to manifest to the world the reality of the kingdom of God. God didn't call us just to be saved and settled in, but he called us to manifest to the world the reality of his kingdom, to let people see the love, the mercy, the grace, the goodness, and the power of God. Every child of God is called and commissioned to be a living demonstration of the full expression of the presence and the power of God. That's what we've been called to be, a living expression of the fullness of the power and the presence of God. How disappointing it must be to the heart of God when he has provided so much for us and we have settled for so little. When God has provided so much for us as his people, but so often we settle for so much less. Jesus said that we can have the power of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit in our life. He said we can have it to the point that it's flowing out of us like a mighty river of living waters. He said we can have it to the place that it would flow out of us like living water. But so many believers are content merely to just feel him once in a while. I don't know about you, but I don't want a day to go by that I don't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't want a day to go by that I don't have a one-on-one moment with God and a time with the Lord. And I'm just going to be real with you. I don't want a day to go by that I don't speak in a heavenly language where I've been talking to the Lord and get locked in with him, and then all of a sudden the Spirit of God take over and I begin to pray in another language that I don't understand, but he understands. And I want to tell you something. There's something about those moments in your life that will draw you into the presence of God like nothing else will draw you into the presence of God. And if you haven't gotten there, I encourage you to find that place in your life. It ought to be something we experience every single day. Jude said, I exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That you should earnestly contend for the faith. What he's talking about here, he's speaking of a faith that produces power. He said, you ought to earnestly contend for a faith that produces power. He was speaking of a living faith that produces miracles. We must contend for the faith. You know what that means? We must fight for the faith. We must endure for the faith. We must push in for the faith. Listen, there's a lot of people that attend the house of God, but there's not very many people in the church world today that want to contend in the house of God. A lot of people are attending the house of God, but not many are wanting to become contenders in the presence of the Lord. But let me say this to you. We've got to come back to the place that we want God more than anything else. We want His presence more than anything else. And we're willing to do whatever it takes to get us into the presence of God, that we can feel His glory and that we can know that He is working in us. To contend means this. It means to fight adversaries. Listen to me. If you're going to contend in the faith, you're going to fight the devil. I want somebody in this house to hear me. You are going to fight the devil. It is going to be a reality in your life. It's going to happen. If you're going to be a contender, it means you have to struggle sometime with difficulties and with danger. To contend means to endeavor with strenuous zeal. It means to strive to contain or to obtain something, excuse me. It means to strive to get somewhere. When you contend, it means that you're pushing and you're pressing to get beyond where you are. Matthew 11 and 12 said, and from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And the violent take it by force. I want to say this to you. God is calling the church back to the place that we become violently forceful when it comes to pushing in to where God is drawing us, when it comes to pushing back the powers of hell and pushing against the armament of the enemy. It's time that we come forcefully in the presence of God. I believe the Holy Spirit is asking us and putting before us today, are there any contenders in the house? Are there any fighters in the house? Are there any who are hungry and thirsty enough to do whatever it takes to get where God's calling them? Are there any contenders in the house? Where are the passionate? Where are the violent? Where are the bold? Where are the forceful? Where are the hungry? Where are the thirsty? Where are the ones who want more than just a ticket to heaven? I want to be careful when I make this statement. God's not looking for people that wants just a ticket to heaven. God's looking for a people that will hunger and thirst after Him. That will long for Him with the fullness of their heart. That's willing to surrender everything into His hand. I want to ask you something this morning. Do you want your full inheritance? Do you want the fullness of God? Think about this. Do you want the fullness of the power of God in your life? Do you want to operate in the manifest gifts of God in your life? Do you want signs and wonders and miracles following you? David, I don't just want to preach about it. I want it to follow me. I don't just want to talk about it. I want it to follow me. I want it to be a part of my life. I want it to be that as I'm going throughout my day, that miracles and signs and wonders are happening all around me. Do you desire that in your life? Do you long for that in your life? Is it what you really seek after? Where are the contenders? Hear this preacher this morning. You're not contending if you're playing the game. I know it's been pretty real this morning, but I want you to listen to me. You're not contending if you're playing the game. You're not contending if you're hit and miss. You're not contending if you're going through the motions. You're not contending if you're satisfied where you are. Now let's get real for a minute. There's never a place in the life of a child of God to get satisfied where you are. There's always more. There's always a higher level. There's always another step. There's never a place to get satisfied. And you're not contending if you're satisfied in your place. You're not contending if you stand before others more than you kneel before God. You're not contending if you know more about God than you really know God. What I'm trying to get across to us this morning, God is looking for contenders. God is not looking for people in this late hour that's just wanting to wade their way through, just to barely get by. God is looking for people who are ready to fight for what is theirs. God is looking for people who are willing to say, are willing to say, Lord, I want more of you than I've ever had in my life. God, I want to see you in a different way than I've ever seen you. I want to experience you in a different way than I've ever experienced you. God, I want you more than anything else in my life. Won't you stand to your feet with me all across this room? God is looking for fighters. All around me in this late hour, I have seen so many people who are at the point of giving up in their race. They're at the point of walking away from where they are. Let me tell you the sad part of that. As many of those people have been serving God for a long time, but they've come to a point and a place in their life that the enemy's got to believe in. What's the use anymore? Why do it anymore? Why fight it anymore? Why go through the hardships anymore? Why deal with the struggles anymore? Why face any of this? And why do it anymore? There's people in this room right now, listen to me. You've been in that very place just recently. I don't know who you are, but the Lord spoke to my heart. You've been in that place very recently. You've asked yourself, why do it anymore? I want to say this to you because I love you. You're doing that because you're right where the enemy wants you to be. When you accept that place and that philosophy in your life, you are right where the enemy wants you to be. And he's standing back smiling while you're struggling. Let me say it to you again. God's looking for fighters. I say this with all the love in my heart. God's not looking for quitters. God's looking for fighters. God's looking for people that's more in love with him now than they've ever been in their life. God is looking for those who have true grit. He's looking for those who are not afraid, listen, who are not afraid to put the heat on the devil. The devil's put the heat on you long enough. It's time for you to put the heat on him. It's time for you to take the fight to the enemy. He's been bringing to you long enough. But instead of getting weary and well-doing, instead of backing off, and instead of giving up and just walking away, it's time for you to stand your ground once again and say, I'm going to stand firmly upon the Word of God, and I'm going to trust in the Lord, and I'm going to push my way in. So, devil, you might as well move over, because I'm coming through. What God said is mine, and there's not a devil in hell, there's not a demon in hell, there's not a power in hell that can keep me from getting where God is calling me. Somebody hear this preacher this morning. God is looking for those who are ready to go back to the basics. Oh, I know that's not popular preaching today, and I know that's not what we want to hear today, but God is calling us back to the basics where we will push in to the presence of God. God never said it was going to be easy. He never said it'd be an easy road, but one thing he did say, it would be worth it when you get in. It'll be worth it when you reach your place. It'll be worth everything you go through, every battle you fight, every warfare that goes on in your life. It'll be worth every valley you cross. Every high mountain you climb, every adversity you go through, every trying moment in your life, it'll be worth it when you get in to the presence of God. It'll be worth it. I don't know who I'm talking to in this room, but I feel this with all my heart. You've been going through such a struggle lately. You tried to make everybody around you think that everything's okay and you're doing well, but the reality is you're not doing good at all. The fight's been hard. The adversity's been tough. The reality of where you've been's been awful. But yet you don't want anybody to think you struggle. You don't want anybody to think that you deal with such things. Let's get real. You're human. And as long as we're on this earth, we're going to go through trials. As long as we're on this earth, we're going to go through adverse moments. As long as we're on this earth, we're going to fight against the enemy. But when you come to the place that you're man, woman, boy, or girl enough to admit, yes, I've been struggling lately. Yes, I've been going through adversities lately. Yes, everything's not been right in my life lately. Everything's not well with me. But today, I've made up my mind that no matter where I've been, no matter what I've been through, no matter what's been going on, today, I want to find God in a way I've never found God before. And I want to see God like I've never seen before. I want everyone in this room, listen to me. I want everybody in this room who has or desires a contending spirit to press into the fullness of God for your life. If that's you, I want you to get out of your seat right now and get to the front of this room. Hurry. If you have or you desire a contending spirit to get into the fullness of God for your life, get out of your seat right now and get to the front of this room in a hurry, 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 in a hurry. Are there any contenders in the house? Are there any fighters in the house? Are there any warfare in the house? My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I feel the presence of God in this room. I ask every person that come to the front of this house, however you feel comfortable, if you want to stand, if you want to kneel, however you feel. But open yourself up before the Lord in this moment. Open yourself up before God in this moment and surrender all of who you are to Him. Yield everything about who you are into His hand. Surrender yourself into the hands of God. All God's looking for is a surrendered spirit. All He's looking for is a humble heart. All He's looking for those like Paul. It's not what we know. It's not all the things we understand. But we're surrendered. We're humbling ourselves. And with a submissive spirit, you will move God in your life. With a humble heart, you will move God in your life. Fight for what is yours. contend for where you want to be with God. Hunger and thirst after God. Press your way in. I know this is different, but I feel a drawing. I feel a wooing. I feel a moving of the Spirit of God that is drawing, that is pulling. Allow Him to bring you in this morning. Allow Him to bring you in this morning. Allow Him to bring you under His wing. Allow Him to bring you into His presence. Allow Him to do what only He can do in you, through you, and about you.